You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, we started from the bottom.
Now my whole team fucking
okay,
here.
I guess
we're starting
the
remix.
Like
remix.
This. Whoa, okay.
Right,
welcome to another edition of Black Hollywood Live, next. Where we always talk to who's next and up and coming in the world and the people that you need to know. I am one of your hosts, Megan Thomas, at Meg Scoop on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And who are you, lovely man?
And I'm Courtney Tezano. Keep in touch with me at Teznos on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, and make sure you use the hashtag BHLNext if you have any questions or comments about the show. And always go to podcast1.com. Take the survey. It's 3 minutes long. It helps us do better. You get to comment on what you love about us, what you hate about us. And we're okay with that if there's stuff you don't like. You know what I'm saying? But we know you love it because you watch it every week. So make sure you go to podcast1.com. Take the survey. We love it. And today is not any different from any other Friday. We are talking to this beautifully talented actress. You have seen her on your TV screen because you have to have seen her. She's everywhere.
Yes.
Her name is Idera Victor. Give it up.
Hello, lovely lady.
Beautiful. Hey, y'all. Oh, thank you. Thank
Curls
you. Y'all are
poppin'.
Gorgeous.
Thank
Curls
you.
Popping. That color is so you. I love
yes.
it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you've seen her on TNT's Rizzolian Isles and also on AMC's Turn, Washington Spies. We're going to get into that, but let's talk about some casting news right now.
All right,
now.
What's going on, Megan?
Yes, so guess who no longer has a TV show, but like a network, like a talk show, but now has a movie coming out?
Who?
Queen Latifah.
Wait, I thought she had something like
she
that.
She had Bessie.
She had Bessie.
Right, that came out on HBO, but this is like a movie that's coming out in theaters.
Oh.
So it's going to be...
Look at Queen.
I know, right? It's going to be called... It's a faith-based movie.
Okay.
It's called Miracles from Heaven, and the star in it is Jennifer Garner, and so she's going to be... Queen Latifah's playing a nurse, like a guardian angel kind of nurse thing.
Okay. And we're going to see that anytime soon, or that's like next year?
It's going to be 2016,
okay,
around
next
Easter.
Year.
Easter time. It's a follow-up to... Heaven is for Real, which was like grossed $100 million worldwide. So
yeah, that was a good one. I didn't see it, but I heard it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What do you think about Queen Latifah? Have you been following her since like the beginning of her career?
I just love everything about Queen Latifah. Like everything about her. Yeah, I've been following her. And actually, I met her one time, and this is before I was acting. I was living in New York. I was doing an internship when I was in school. And I went into the elevator, and she came in just like some sweats, and she was going to be doing an interview at InStyle magazine, and I was like, she was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, right? But it's Queen Latifah. Like, right. Love her. And she's so beautiful.
She is. She's
stunningly beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. I loved her. I think my favorite Queen Latifah show was Living Single.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I loved her.
Classic.
Flavor. I wanted to work at Flavor Magazine.
Yes.
Yes.
And I love that she makes everything, like, she combines everything that is her world. Like,
right.
It was Flavor Magazine.
Right.
She's got Flavor Unit. Like,
right.
She's just like, I'm putting my hand in everything. And
right.
It all
that's how you do
a part
it.
Of Queen's world,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Businesswoman. Oh, and let's not forget CoverGirl, y'all. Everyone,
yes.
Everyone was rocking the CoverGirl when
Stunning.
It came out.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
Okay. So yes, that's coming out March 2016. Miracles from Heaven. So make sure you watch that.
Okay. So now we have some fresh beats. We have a new song. I don't know if you guys have heard it yet. Selena Gomez, Good for You. So I was waiting for the video to drop, and it actually dropped already. But because we only
we're gonna play it.
We're gonna play.
Okay.
We're gonna play the video. I was gonna say let's play the tease since we have limited time, but let's play the video.
I'm down. Yeah, I saw that it came out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, until then, who's in this song?
So, A$AP Rocky's in the song. Apparently, I hear he wasn't
in the video. That's what I heard, too.
And I was like, but you're featured. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was so sure that Justin Bieber was going to be in this song because they did like some teases on Instagram of Selena in a shower pic and then Justin in a shower pic. I was like, oh, they're going to be back together, Jelena. And they didn't do it for the video. I was like, Man, my prediction was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have the video popping up, but yes,
but you hear the song.
Yeah, it's a cute song.
It is. You know, she got a little sexy, in my opinion. She was real sultry the whole time, in a silk robe on a green couch, real relaxed. So that's a different side of Selena we haven't seen before. Yeah.
Well, all right then, Selena.
All right, girl.
Well, let's talk about the next big thing. Now, we've been wearing skinny jeans forever, right? Mm-hmm. Skinny jeans have been in the fashion field for a long time. But guess what? The next big thing is that you probably shouldn't be wearing skinny jeans.
I saw this one, Megan.
Let me tell you why. Because, so allegedly, there was this woman, 35-year-old woman, that she was spending the day to help a relative move, and she was squatting for hours, I guess, cleaning, and she had on skinny jeans. Well, because she was squatting, it cut off the circulation in her legs.
Oh.
And she now has nerve damage in her legs because her skinny jeans was too tight because she was squatting.
Okay, that was the actual issue. The skinny jeans must have been too tight because there's no reason they should be cutting off a circulation.
But no, but seriously though, skinny jeans, I mean, you know how you have to.
They can get tight. Yeah, you got to get on the ground and like, you got to jump in the air.
Yeah,
you
but not.
Shimmy up.
Y'all, yeah. Come on, not circulation problems.
Yeah, so doctors are saying they're probably not a good idea to wear skinny jeans. You should limit the amount of time that you spend in them. Yes. I'm like, wow. So I
take breaks.
Like, I know, yeah. So there's like a doctor who's talking about how you shouldn't, like, there's certain ways you should wear your skinny jeans.
No,
like,
Megan.
What is a doctor talking about fashion?
Just to come in from the booth for a quick second, y'all.
Yes, producer Jesse.
But my thing is like, maybe you should just get the right size.
That's how
thank you.
Thank
you. Skinny jeans are here to stay.
Yeah. I know. I like a good skinny jean. But no, but you can't get them big, Jesse. I'm sorry, because then they're like boyfriend jeans, baby.
They ain't skinny jeans anymore
if they're big. So that's all. So make sure, ladies, you don't squat in your skinny jeans, or else you're gonna have to give them up.
Yeah,
that
is the moral of the story. Don't give up the skinnies. Get the right size
and don't squat.
That's it.
I've squatted in my skinny jeans though, but I think I'm more afraid of like the mooning, like the crack out versus like
low rises.
My legs
they don't do it for you.
Oh, I'm just like, oh, I'm about mooning people.
Yeah.
So yeah, no that's skinny jeans apparently.
Oh my goodness.
Let's talk about you.
Yes.
Oh hey.
Oh hi.
Hi.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about where you were born and raised in New York.
I was born and raised in New York. I was born in Brooklyn. Grew up there a little bit, but mostly raised in Long Island.
Okay.
What part of Long Island?
Central Islip, which is like, it's like halfway out into the island.
Right.
Yeah, near Ronkonkoma. Everybody knows Ronkonkoma because of the train.
I like the way that sounds. Right? I just
say it sometimes. Just because Yeah, but right there.
Right. Okay, so you grew up in New York, and you started dancing and playing the piano by 6. That's young. That's extremely
young.
Yeah, I guess
it is. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't feel young. I mean, but my mom, I have to say my mom had us pretty advanced. Because, by 3, I was doing, multiplication.
Okay.
Like, she was very, we'd come home from nursery school, and she'd be like, I got homework. Like, her own homework, you know?
That's how you should train up a child, really.
Yeah.
So when did you realize that acting was something you wanted to do since you started doing that at such a young age?
Well, I kind of always knew I wanted to do it, but more from the glamour perspective, like just being like, oh, I'm a movie star, and my parents would be like, oh, it's our movie star, and,
aww,
you know. Yeah.
Really?
So I love it.
I wanted to do it, but it wasn't until I did this play in first grade of The Tortoise and the Hare.
Right.
and I was playing the hare. And I remember, you know how the tortoise is supposed to win at the end.
Right, right.
And so I remember I was doing such a good job. Like, I was just so in character that, like, I was like, when I realized that I fell asleep and the tortoise was about to pass me and win the race, and I got up and ran to get, and I almost passed the tortoise, so I had to run in place while the tortoise passed.
Oh, my goodness.
And so everybody laughed, and I was like, oh, I like this. Like, oh, this is fun.
That's kind of your improv. You didn't even know you were doing it.
Yeah, I was improvising.
Oh my goodness.
I was. But yeah, it was from that moment on I was like, I want to act. But I didn't think I was going to do it. Even going into college, I didn't think I was going to actually do it.
Why not?
Because I thought it was something that you had to do from a really young age. Like, I thought if I didn't start at, 6 and 7, just being in it, that I just thought it was a world that you couldn't jump into.
You know, I think a lot of people have that misconception.
Yeah, it's really a misconception.
Yeah.
Okay,
you said something that kind of stood out to me. So, you said that your parents always knew you were a star. You're one of 3 sisters.
Uh-huh.
You have 2 sisters. Mm-hmm. And you're the middle child.
I am.
Do you have middle child syndrome? Or
apparently.
Did you have it?
I never thought so, but
how
apparently.
Did your parents treat you differently from your sisters?
You know what I will say? I think I always thought things were unfair. So, like, okay. If me and my older sister were in a fight, uh-huh. I would get in trouble, I felt like, because it was like, you're younger, you should respect your older sister. Uh-huh. And if my younger sister and I got in a fight, it'd be like, you should know better. You're older. Yeah, exactly. So I always was like, this is just unfair, you know? but I have to say that my parents were always very supportive of me in general, mm-hmm. just like whatever I wanted to do. And I was kind of, I wouldn't say the black sheep, but I was the one who was like, I wanted to perform. I was always like wanting to do stuff. I was the loud one. I was always like entertaining my family. Mm-hmm. And so even like my older sister is a computer engineer. My younger sister is a physical therapist. Like nobody went into the arts.
Right.
But, but I was always the one that was like, I'm doing this. And they were like, we don't know where you came from, but like, we are all for it. Go ahead. We're all in.
That is so funny. Yeah. Okay. So you're Nigerian, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are you first generation Nigerian in the States?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So tell us how that experience was being raised here and, how your culture has pretty much shaped you.
Okay. That's good. So my parents, they were the first, like all of their siblings still live in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And so all my cousins are in Nigeria and stuff. And so growing up, there was always this balance between, you know, what I was learning at home, which were, you know, my parents are pretty liberal. So, I mean, they had friends that were Nigerian that were way more strict and more just like about the culture. I mean, my parents were like Americanized, you know, uh-huh. like we were eating spaghetti. You know what I mean? It was very like... It was super American. But I have to say that there was always this balance of, like, the things we'd learn from the Nigerian culture and, like, African-American culture, you know. And so I always felt, like, really grateful because I felt like I could get the best of all worlds, mm-hmm. you know, growing up that way.
Before you keep going, are you Igbo or Yoruba?
I'm neither one. I'm actually Efik.
Ah!
It's really small. It's from Calabar. My mom is from Calabar. My dad is Ibibio, which is like a similar, they're very similar.
Okay.
But, there are very few Efik people, especially here. I remember I met one cab driver one time in New York who had heard about Efik people, and I guess there's this saying about Calabar women that are supposed to be like they're the most like attractive women in Nigeria, like the ones you want to have, and there's like all these things like you want a Calabar wife. So I remember I was with my boyfriend in the cab and he was like, "You're from Calabar?" And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Oh," I started getting like all excited in the front and I was like, "Everything needs to slow down." But yeah, that there are very, very few of us here.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's cool to know. Right. I've never heard of that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you get, are you not married, right?
No.
When you get married, are you having like the full Nigerian
I'm doing
way?
It all.
Oh, you better do it.
Yes.
No, yes. The money dance.
Listen.
The money dance.
Yes.
Yes.
Partake in the money dance.
Yes.
Come and partake in the money dance.
I will.
And I'm telling you, it's like I am doing it as big as I can. I'm going to have, that's why I'm like, yes, the more the merrier. Bring your friends.
Right.
Bring your family. But like, I'm going to do the American and the Nigerian, and I'm going to go to Nigeria and repeat it.
Oh my God.
That's another level with it. Okay.
I love Nigerian
weddings. Yeah.
It's so fun.
A lot of my best friends are Nigerian. They're just,
Oh my goodness. And you don't even have to know who's getting married.
No. Like, you just show up.
Yeah.
Last time I was there with my dad, it would be like there would be these flags out in the front yard, so you know somebody's getting married, and you just see people like, you wanna like head over, you know, like they, you wanna eat? Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, let's go.
Right.
You know? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was talking about that pop of color that you have. You're really put together, in my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you.
Of course. Thank you. So I'm a pageant girl, and I hear you were a pageant girl.
Yeah.
Let's throw it way back. So you actually won, I want to get it right, Miss New York Junior Teen.
Yes.
And what did you learn from winning that experience? Before we get to that, actually, what did you learn during your first pageant?
Okay, that was my first pageant. So my pageant experience was very, now to think about it, goes to the way I approached acting too.
Mm-hmm.
Because my pageant experience was so, it was on a whim. Like I was like, I wanted to do it. And my mom, and it was something I saw in like a Penny Saver. I'm talking like,
oh, wow.
I saw like, oh, there's this pageant going on. And I was like, Mom, can I do it? And she was like, I don't know anything about
right.
that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of begged and begged. And so we finally went to like the Marriott or wherever it was that they had that first meeting. And I just did the steps. Like, I got my little sponsors, and I got my little, outfits, and I got my my routine that I was going to do. And so we went, and I have to say, like, I was just doing it. And it was about halfway through they brought my mom to the back because I was like, I need to see my mom. I just want to talk to her for a minute. And she came back. She was like, everybody's saying you're doing really good. I don't know. And so it was such a, like, because it was just, I think it was just that naivete, you know, like, mm-hmm. I just didn't know anything about it. So I just did my best and wound up winning. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until I went down to Florida for the Nationals that I realized how deep the world of pageantry was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea, but uh-huh. I got down there and I was like, oh, these girls have been doing this their whole lives.
Since they came out.
Yes. And like, my roommate, I remember she had like the full beat and the like, the like lashes and the fake teeth and all of this stuff. And I remember when I met her, I was like, this girl, she was really mousy, and I was like, hi. I was like, this is weird. And then, like, she got ready, and she was just like, glam queen. And I was like, what is happening? And there were people, like, politicking with the judges. And there was just a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so me and my family, we had gone down there, and it was, we were in Disney World. It was near Disney World. So we just kind of had, like, a family trip to Disney World and enjoyed ourselves, and it came back up. I was like,
that's the way to do
let it go. Yeah, because it was so much deeper than we even knew. But so that was my first and only pageant.
Okay. Wow. Well,
you won it.
Pretty cool. Why do you need to do it again?
It was cool.
Oh, my goodness. So let's jump ahead. You went to University of Pennsylvania, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wharton?
I did.
You went to Wharton. That's crazy. That's hard. Wharton's hard to get into. You're smart, apparently. You're like super smart.
Yeah,
so they say.
Business, like, all that. Smart.
So they say.
Yeah. You studied business, but then you also did a few plays. Mm-hmm. So how did you find the balance between a business degree and doing theater?
Well, I was doing that. Like, the theater stuff I was doing more with friends just, like, on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing that on my own completely. And, well, the thing about Wharton is that there really was no time to do anything else but business. Like, it didn't even, like, even the liberal arts classes that I wanted to take, it was like, there's no room in your curriculum to really do that, you know? So, it almost made it so that it was like, well, okay, the focus is so strong this way that I had the freedom to do all of this other stuff on the weekend. So, like, I would do that. I would do my curriculum really hardcore at Wharton, you know, during the week. And then on the weekends, I was like, what are we doing? Like, creatively. And so it was like, either it would be theater or I remember Fashionably Loud had been this big thing growing up on MTV that I had watched. And I was like, I want to create like a fashion show thing like that. And so I remember me and my friends, we just thought we were just so cool. So we were just like, we're going to create a fashion show and have like the most beautiful women on the campus, and the most beautiful men come, and they're going to walk for us, and we're going to get all these amazing designers around Philly. And we put this thing together, and it was really cool. We were like, we're going to get musical acts, and we did that. I remember my junior year, but yeah, I would do things like that, like just any kind of creative project I could get my hands on to just somehow get that out.
Definitely,
like, were you secretly wanting to be an actress, or were you? So, why do you feel like at this point you couldn't be just open with it?
I think I just had had the notion that, like I said, if you hadn't done it, that you couldn't really necessarily make a career of it, mm-hmm. you know? And business was safe. Business school was like a safe thing. It was like, you know, and so even with that, I was like, well, I studied entrepreneurial management because mm-hmm. I was like, I'll start my own business then at least. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll be a fashion company. And so me and my friend, we had to do like a business plan as my final project. And mm-hmm. it was like, let's do that. And we had to do marketing campaigns and stuff. And so I just thought I could get my creativity out that way and it would be fine. And when I graduated and I worked at InStyle magazine like really briefly. Uh-huh. And I was like, I have to perform. Like, it was like, it was calling me itching so much that, I just couldn't take it anymore. So I just was like, I have to go for this.
I mean, and that's what passion's called. So, how did you end up merging your love for acting? So that's the stage mm-hmm. and then your degree. How did you merge that into the career that you have now?
That's a good question. I have to say that I think having gone through an understanding of business that I had at school helped me so much in being able to figure out how this business worked. Because the thing with acting is, like, you can be so talented, you know, and it's not even really about that. I mean, you have to be talented, obviously, to do well, but there are so many talented people who don't necessarily understand the business side of it. And I think that really helped me, just like knowing how to even navigate that, because I knew no one in the business. I knew no one in the field, period. I just knew no one. So mm-hmm. even just I was able to organize it almost like it was my own business that I was entering into. You know, I was like, I'm the commodity. I'm coming into this business. What would that mean entering the market? You know, and so having that understanding helped me to combine my talent and, you know, get my in into the world of it.
Absolutely. Okay. And so then, of course, you did some theater. You did some Broadway.
I did.
And how did you go from theater to acting on TV, films, that kind of thing?
Well, in New York, I actually did, like, a little bit of Law & Order, and, like, I would work on a few soaps during the day and then be doing Broadway at night. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had, like, a little bit of, like, I had dipped my toe in the TV world already. Mm-hmm. And there was just a, like, again, it was actually film that got me wanting to act, that got me really wanting to act. So I was like, I have to see what that is. Like, I have to see what doing more on-camera work would be like. And so when I moved out here, that was kind of the goal. It was like, well, home is New York. I will always go home. Right. I will always go back to theater. Mm-hmm. I will always do that for mm-hmm. the rest of my life, you know?
Right.
I just wanted to see, like, what else this world had to offer, you know? And so, yeah, so I just made my way over here. And it was another leap of faith thing.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing that.
Yes. I do the leap of faith thing a lot, but yeah.
Well, it works out because one of the biggest, highest rated shows on cable right now. You star as Nina Holiday on TNT's Brazilian Isles.
Yeah.
Do that. So it's been on multiple seasons. What has it been like to be on multiple seasons of a show?
Well, I just joined them mid-season last year, and they have been... What that was like coming into a show that had been on for 5 seasons, that they're such a well-oiled machine. Uh-huh. And, like, they all work together so seamlessly. And so it really was like, I always liken it to almost like jumping in a double dutch rope. Right. Like, you're like, it's going. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just jump in, you know? Okay. And so, like, finding the rhythm with everyone was kind of that way. It took a few episodes, I think, for me to even get that down, you know, and really understand how it all worked. But it's amazing because there's so much to learn from mm-hmm. everyone, because they've all been working together for so long and they've been working for so long. They're just all such talented actors. So it's been really amazing. And I like that it's like a family because they've all been working together for so long.
Right. And they welcomed you like your family.
Yeah, they welcomed. They really did. Yeah.
What was the audition process like for that show?
So easy.
Really? How many auditions did you have to go through? That's it.
One with the casting director, and then one with the team.
What?
Wow. Yes, and quick.
Look at you.
And they were quick. And I really was like, I took it as like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm really, you know, like, I didn't see myself necessarily on the show. I was like, I don't know if I'm really for that show. We'll see. And I went in for the first audition. The casting director was like, great, I'm going to bring you in for the team. I was like, okay. And then the same with the team. They gave me... I think one adjustment, and then they were like, and it was really cool actually, because it was in the room that they let me know pretty much. They were like, okay, like that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like,
that's crazy.
Oh, okay. And that awesome. I feel like that doesn't happen that often. But yeah.
No, I've never
amazing.
Heard of that actually.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
And then you're also on AMC's Turn, Washington Spies, which is set during the Revolutionary War. You've done a couple of period pieces, I think. You worked on Mad Men, right?
I did,
before,
yeah.
And now you've worked on Turn.
I'm on Turn.
So what is it like? Because clearly, you know, you're in eras where black people didn't have the freedom that we have now.
Yes.
So what is it like to play characters in those periods?
I love it. I have to tell you, I love doing period work, period. Like, period work. I do. I really do. And it's because I get to do all that character work. And I think a part of me secretly, like, wants to just be a character actress and do all that stuff anyway. But, you know, playing those people, it kind of forces me to dig into who that person had to be without making any sort of... having any presumptions about what their life or the way they think and the way I think being the same.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I have to look at their life completely as a completely new entity. But then what's beautiful about that, as soon as I start to do it, I start to realize, like, but they're people. And so they're experiencing, like, even though Abigail, for example, on Turn is a slave, it's a conversation I have with friends a lot, because it's all like, okay, it's a slave, so we got to make sure we play this, you know, we got to give, like, the full truth of, like, what it meant for us, and, you know, we got to honor our ancestors, and I'm all for that. And I realized in preparing for her, I was like, truly honoring my ancestors would be to live her life from the standpoint of somebody who's in it and hasn't had the perspective yet from the outside to look back on it we have today, you know? And so it's like not commenting on it. You know, it's like I had to play her as somebody who, what would happen would be that, you know, whatever little bit of privilege you get, you take. Right, you know, whatever right. little bit of, like, feeling like you're fine, you take. And we do that, right? Like, you can be in a horrible situation, and you're like, but I'm good, you know? And it's like, but you're not, you know? And we can, from the outside, having that freedom, be like, wow, that was a terrible for you, you know?
Right.
But she is in a position where actually it was pretty good. She's like, I see friends of mine are in the field. I'm in the house. I see, you know, I'm treated a certain kind of way. You know, I'm given certain luxuries and opportunities that, you know, some of my peers aren't given. And that's a struggle that then she has to live with. It's like, maybe if there's a certain guilt with that. There's a, there's a bunch of stuff that goes along with that, you know?
Yeah.
So I was grateful to be able to portray her and just live that experience without commenting on it.
It's a very good show. Very, very good, deep show.
And it was the same with Mad Men. It was like, it was cool to just to live, you know, in that show. They really do, they're so meticulous.
You
really
can tell,
like, you're back in the 60s.
Absolutely. So you are also on this amazing web series called The Choir. It's produced by Issa Rae, who, if you know, she did Awkward Black Girl.
I love
The Choir. Like, I went to go look at this, and I was just doing research, okay? I ended up watching, like, 4 episodes, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Like, the first episode, they're singing, like, a choir song, but it's like a Jesus. Like,
what's with the body roll?
That
man?
Girl, you
it's like a remix of Janet. It's a remix of Janet Jackson. Anytime, any place. Issa is a mad woman, and I love her for it. And so, like, we remixed a lot of songs for Jesus.
It was so funny.
I probably would love that. I've done that a few times.
You gotta watch it.
Because we all do. Like, that's the thing. We all do it. Do it. And it's actually commenting on, you know, like, we've taken, like, secular music, and you can go on YouTube and see how much gospel choirs have taken secular music and been like, we could just add Jesus to that, and it'll be all good. Yeah, exactly. So we do that, you know.
Well, I didn't like working on that kind of a show. It's a web series.
Yeah.
It's totally different from what you've done before. What was it like?
It was really, really fun. It was fast. We did all of the episodes, I think, in 5 or 6 days.
Really?
Yeah, it was super fast. But it was really, really fun and just silly. And I liked it because it was that silly, it was that over-the-top silly and that broad, we could just... what I always say, I'm like, we could just be stupid, you know, do things that are just like, what, you did not, okay, we're going with it, you know, we'll just add it in. Yeah, just completely off the wall fun things that, you know, there were just no rules that way. And it was fun to do it on, it was kind of like we were pushing the edge in a lot of ways, you know, like my character was atheist on the show. And
right,
so I remember a lot of the fans were like, wait a minute, you know, like had a lot to say about that. And I was like, this is why we do it, so that we can actually have this conversation, you know, like, what do you feel about that? You know?
Yeah.
So that was a fun, fun show.
And that show, did it air on All Right TV or just on the YouTube channel?
It aired on All Right TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hilarious. That needs to be a full, like, drawn out. I need to see, like, 24 episodes.
Yeah, I know. I think she's got bigger plans for it. We'll see. I don't know.
Funny.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
So you've done so much already. What have you not accomplished yet that you would like to accomplish?
Well, I don't know. I take everything so much as it comes. I think one thing I would definitely like to do ultimately and eventually is to produce films.
Okay.
And I don't even know how that's going to come about, you know, down the line. But I just want to be part of creating more projects that are available for people. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And then you spoke very quickly about a relationship. Are you in a relationship?
I am.
Aww, yay!
Shout out to the booze.
I know. We love booze.
Booze are good.
What do you look at it as, what do you look for in your significant other? What's important? What's an important quality?
Big time, a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I really like to laugh, and I need somebody who, you know, shares a sense of humor with me because I find life funny. So, like, I need somebody that we could just be rolling and, like, literally people watching just laugh. So I need that. And then I look for somebody who really understands this journey of living in Hollywood and being an actress and, you know, really gets that and really understands what being an artist is like. And can appreciate that. And then just really super affectionate and loving, because I'm just like,
Oh,
very.
You're mushy.
I'm mushy. Okay. I'm a mush, mush, mush. Yeah.
Are you one of those people that likes to be like snuggled with the entire night?
Yeah.
Are you Megan, like hot?
Megan.
Like, hot.
No, okay. I will like at least get like the back of my hand touch it. Like it's got to touch.
Something's got to touch.
An ankle, something. Like I've got to, like something's got to touch.
Right, right. Okay, after your elbow, we good.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh,
we're
my
good.
Goodness.
Yeah. I'm totally that person.
And then tell us what upcoming projects you have going on.
Well, I've got, well, hopefully Turn's coming back.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
We shall see. But I'm very, very, very much crossing my fingers for that.
Okay.
And then I've got my own thing that I'm working on, actually, with a couple of friends that we're writing that's going to be part of the whole Black Lives Matter movement. And that's a really cool art piece that we're doing. And I'm very excited for. So
Yay!
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be looking forward to all of that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So then, before we get out of here, where can we all of your fans find you on social media?
Edara Victor. So my IG is Edara Victor, Twitter is Edara Victor, and you can go to EdaraVictor.com.
Okay. Have you gotten a Snapchat yet? Periscope.
I just got on Snapchat.
All right.
And it's only because my best friend from high school, he was like, I put pictures of the kids on there and stuff. You need to get on there. And I was like, all right, fine. And so like I joined it, but I was like, what is that? I don't know about it. And I'm not Periscope yet, but we'll see. It's just so much.
It's gonna happen.
It's a lot going on. Yeah.
I'm going to be on all of it very soon.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Where can we find you, Courtney?
You guys can keep in touch with me at Tez Knows on Twitter and Instagram, as always.
And you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. Don't forget to use the hashtag BHLNext. We look at all your comments. We love you guys. Don't forget to subscribe right down below to Black Hollywood Live. Click the button. You can also find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. We're there, too. Love y'all. See you next time.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.